Judge Hannah and Isaiah 54. Nearly 100 years ago, editor Judge Hannah realized that Isaiah's chapter 54 was a prophecy of the second coming of the Christ that Mary Baker Eddy brought. He wrote it in an article. Mrs. Eddy praised the article, but cautioned him that the time had not yet come for him to say the wonderful things he had written. Why? Because the great red dragon, envy and revenge, seemed very much in the saddle. Do not say blandly that I represent the second appearing of the Christ. That assertion will array mortal mind against us, she warned. Mrs. Elizabeth Earl Jones was told that in the latter 1880s, Mrs. Eddy had said it would be at least 50 years before mankind would be ready for this type of information. It was approximately 50 years later that the 6 points were published in the Christian Science Sentinel and Journal. Mrs. Eddy saw that while infinite love had inspired Judge Hannah to write it, still, it would be a prompting by malicious animal magnetism to publish it at that time, when spiritual ignorance largely prevailed. As previously explained, the Bliss Knapp flap, currently going up Boston's chimney, exposes how far astray the transgressors, the self-appointed ecclesiastical hierarchy, has led otherwise loyal Christian Scientists. Mr. Knapp points out that Mrs. Eddy could rely on the obedience only of those who understood her divine status. Mrs. Eddy confided in very few. She never allowed any reference to her place in Bible prophecy to be made unwisely to the general public. She taught that a lack of wisdom betrays truth into the hands of evil as effectually as does a subtle conspirator. The dire results of proclaiming herself as the womanhood counterpart to the manhood of Jesus would have been incalculable then, if debated in public, as it would still be so today. Only by understanding the divine and human coincidence can Christian Scientists rightly perceive Mrs. Eddy as the woman in the apocalypse, writes a friend. Mrs. Eddy was light years, eons, ahead of even her students. They shone by borrowed light, their leader's heavenly light. The marvelous healings of Mrs. Eddy's students were brought about through the reflected light of her consciousness, and this wondrous spiritual light continued for about 40 years after Mrs. Eddy left the human scene. In Jesus' time, the disciples healed in the name of Jesus, meaning by the reflected light of his consciousness. Today we have to work harder to accomplish healing. We have to learn the science of our being, and only to the extent that we actually realize truth do we heal. The period we are now passing through was prophesied in Revelation 12. The devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Kimball, caught between rock and hard place. Unbelievable hatred and animosity lay in wait to pounce on every word uttered by Mrs. Eddy's students. It is important to see this, and why Mrs. Eddy could not correct Mr. Kimball when he said she did not teach that she was the woman of the apocalypse. It was too early to teach this. He was trying to protect her when answering questions from the press regarding a lawsuit brought against Mrs. Eddy by a disloyal, treacherous student. Unfortunately, since that time, those hostile to Mrs. Eddy, unwilling to slink away and lick their wounds, have tried to use Mr. Kimball's statement to bolster their incorrect contention that Mrs. Eddy did not fulfill scriptural prophecy. It must be remembered that in this seething sea of hatred toward her and her discovery and revelation, she had to use great wisdom in dealing with the public in what she said or what she counseled her students to say. See Miscellaneous Writings, page 253, for the types and shadows of this hour. Returning to editor Judge Hanna's article, Mrs. Eddy commended his proposed editorial, Question and Answer, Must the Spirit of Truth, or the Comforter that Jesus said should come, be personalized or individualized? Undoubtedly. There could be no fulfillment of prophecy otherwise. The Virgin Mary in fulfilling prophecy had to come as a person. Jesus in fulfilling prophecy had to come as a person. In the same way, Mary Baker Eddy had to come as a person in order to fulfill the many Bible prophecies concerning the woman. Therefore, editor Hannah asked, Must the woman of the apocalypse be personalized to mankind? And answered, Yes. The woman standing in the sun, Revelation 12, is a scriptural symbol of the one who Jesus said would bring the Comforter and reveal all truth. Jesus' true identity, as scripturally prophesied, was not realized by the mortals he walked among. Neither was Mrs. Eddy's true identity, as scripturally prophesied, realized as she walked among her fellow mortals, and her enemies have done their best to keep her true identity hidden. James Gilman, in his Recollections of Mary Baker Eddy, writes, The substance of fresh thought that she wanted added was that Christian Science was a modern thought and was appropriately expressed in modern surroundings. There is too much looking backward 2,000 years. They will find, she said, that there is a way here in Concord as well as in Palestine. Previously, in this account, we quoted Mrs. Eddy's statement from Miscellany, I am thy deliverer. Mrs. Eddy, knowing that she had brought the second coming of the Christ, could say, I am thy deliverer. Mrs. Eddy's writing, assimilated, understood, demonstrated, is our deliverer. We no longer have to strive with agony. The Christ science she discovered and put in writing for all to learn is our deliverer. She has revealed that, rightly viewed, we are divine beings here and now. She has aroused and showed us how to awaken from the Adam dream that condemns us to till the ground of sense testimony, when all the while we have been given dominion and sovereign power. To Judge Hannah, Mrs. Eddy wrote, Ponder in thought your infinite, harmonious, Christ-expressing selfhood and claim it as you. Drink in its perfection, its moral beauty, its integrity, worth, its unspeakable safety. You are as safe as 2 + 2 = 4, which is infinite and ever-present, because in reality you are a mental and spiritual being, here and now. And you will find it to be so when you awaken from the Adam dream, the mesmerism, the hypnotism that has held you in bondage to matter all your days. How do you awaken yourself? Keep declaring the truth. When you affirm that which is true, although to human reasoning and sight it is not true at all, you will bring it to pass because it is already the fact. All the truth and beauty of God's creation, Mrs. Eddy continued, is yours and you. In that hour of prayer, discard all your sense of selfhood, all that is involved in the belief of birth, heredity, association, time, decay, death. By the grace and authority of God, close your thought firmly against the interference of mortal beliefs. Hold yourself open to the plan of God and closed to the plots of Satan. Rise into the spiritual forces of your own being and your destiny. This magnificent spiritual exercise of treating yourself in devoted prayer and praying for yourself will keep you in the secret place, which is unknown to the senses and open to all that heaven holds for you. and safe. The secret place of right understanding of yourself, infinite good reflected, is as safe as eternity. Addendum. Keeping abreast of the times, a peek into the future. We all pass through three stages: youth, middle age, and you're looking good. In the same way, mankind historically has passed through two worldwide changes and is now well into a third great universal social change, which in turn, according to Scripture, will be followed by a fourth and final change. The first universal wave of change that we know of was launched thousands of years ago by the invention or development of agriculture. In an interesting article published by World Monitor, June 1992, Alvin and Heidi Toffler speak intelligently of today's third wave. The second great wave of change came with the Industrial Revolution, which triggered a vast need for an immense, unskilled labor force. And workers flooded into the United States from all over the world to earn a living by the sweat of their brow. In this second great change, with its many industries and factories, the melting pot ideal arose from the need to homogenize the workers. This is in sharp contrast to a whole society that is now, as the third great change takes place, becoming more heterogeneous, unlike, dissimilar. Today, a third wave, the greatest techno-social transformation since the Industrial Revolution, is sweeping the earth. Gone is the smokestack and assembly line society. The jobs they supplied are gone forever. In this third worldwide, all-reaching change, gone is the need for unskilled workers. The misery-producing joblessness this great change brings up will surely fulfill the Bible prediction, "Through great tribulation we enter the kingdom." Man is not made to till the soil. His birthright is dominion, not subjection. Man, meaning you, created by God, was given dominion over the whole earth. This is slowly coming to pass. The notion of a material universe is utterly opposed to the theory of man evolved from mind. Error tills the whole ground in this material theory, which is entirely a false view, destructive to existence and happiness. See Science and Health, page 518 and page 545. Here let us recall that the Bible, in the Adam dream narrative, speaks of man being cursed to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. Quote, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread," unquote. This cruel era, in which man lacked understanding of his oneness with infinite good, God, is ending, thanks to the spiritual education brought by the prophets, Christ Jesus, Mary Baker Eddy, and many lesser lights, who have continually enlarged mankind's vision and comprehension of his present divinity. Being well into this third world-shaking wave of change, in which unskilled workers are becoming obsolete, a completely new way of educating people is called for. This brings to mind another Bible prophecy, namely, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love, from the least of them unto the greatest." Pointing in this direction, the Tofflers say that, spreading swiftly across the United States, Europe, Japan, etc., the third wave economy's primary resources are educated brain power, innovative creativity, rapidly learned and unlearned skills, organizational transience, and post-bureaucratic forms of authority through phone and fax or computerization on vast globe-encircling electronic infrastructure, on computer, database, and above all, on new attitudes and ever newer and ever-changing skills. In the initial changes that are in the offing and tending toward a more spiritual adhesion and devotion is the fading out of what was formerly the standard industrial family unit, namely a working father, a stay-at-home mother with two children. It may not be seen today by the general public, but the changes taking place point to Jesus' prophecy. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps that never gave suck. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Luke 23, Matthew 23. Of interest also at this juncture in human history is Mrs. Eddy's statement, Matrimony, which was once a fixed fact among us, must lose its present slippery footing, and man must find permanence and peace in a more spiritual adherence. Science and Health, page 65. After the third universal change now taking place, world consciousness will enter the holy spiritual era prophesied by St. John. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain or unemployment, for the former things are passed away. The baptism of spirit, writes Mary Baker Eddy, or final immersion of human consciousness in the infinite ocean of love, is the last scene in corporeal sense. This omnipotent act drops the curtain on material man and mortality. After this, man's identity or consciousness reflects only spirit, good, whose visible being is invisible to the physical senses. Eye hath not seen it, inasmuch as it is the disembodied individual spiritual substance and consciousness, termed in Christian metaphysics the ideal man. Forever permeated with eternal life, holiness, heaven. This order of science is the chain of ages which maintain their obvious correspondence and unite all periods in the divine design. Mortal man's repentance and absolute abandonment of sin finally dissolves all supposed material life or physical sensation, and the corporeal or mortal man disappears forever. The encumbering mortal molecules, called man, vanish as a dream. But man, born of the great forever, lives on, God-crowned and blessed. Miscellany, page 205. In a talk given on October 15, 1931, at 15th Church of Christ Scientist, New York City, Mrs. Frances Thurber Seale told of Mrs. Eddy confiding in her concerning the finishing touches she was putting on the church manual, and how it was the most important work of her life since finishing Science and Health, because it included the provisions for the termination of the government of the Mother Church. Mrs. Eddy told Mrs. Seale that after more than 30 years of demonstration and constant study of her revelation, as a final, culminating step, she had shut herself away from the world and spent months in silent communion with God in order to bring forth this conception of church government. She said, "The church manual, with its estoppels, was equally necessary to what was in science and health. It was the completion of the government of the Mother Church." Mrs. Seal said, "I can still see the look of faraway vision," as Mrs. Eddy said, "when it is completed, it will be the most perfect form of government the world has ever seen." Then after a long pause, she continued, "And the world will not be able to see it for a long time to come."